Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navati Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we have Alambusha has killed Iravan, Arjuna's son, and now Ghatotkacha came to the field. And so now he's very upset. And so now he's attacked Duryodhana, and Bhishma sent Drona and other great warriors to protect Duryodhana. Seeing the Kuru force arriving, Ghatotkacha laughed and stood his ground. With another terrible yell, he stretched his huge bow and released a crescent-headed shaft that destroys Drona's bow. With other arrows, he pierced all the leading Kurus and broke their standards. So swift was his movement that the Kurus had hardly any opportunity to train their weapons upon him before they were struck by his arrows. The power of his shaft sent them reeling. Many of them sat down on the terraces of the chariot, stunned and wounded. As the Kurus fell back under the fierce assault, Ghatotkacha focused his attention on Duryodhana. He rushed at him with his sword held high. Seeing this, the Kurus rallied and rained arrows upon the roaring Rakshasa. Sorely afflicted, Ghatotkacha rose into the sky like an eagle. His roars carried to Yudhishthira, who said to Bhima, "Those are surely the roars of your son. I suspect he is under attack from many powerful foes. O foremost of men, go at once to his assistance." Bhima obeyed his brother's instructions and raced off toward Ghatotkacha. Supported by other Pandava chariot warriors and a large contingent of soldiers, as he approached his son, he shouted out his battle cry. Hearing Bhima's cries, the Kurus turned pale with fear, right? Because they had one Rakshasa, and now they have Bhima, right? As he rushed towards them, many fled. But the leading Kuru stood their ground. A violent battle ensued between them and the combined forces of Ghatotkacha and Bhima. Duryodhana rallied his troops and they returned to the fight, only to be slaughtered by the charging Pandava warriors. The earth became thick with the mutilated bodies of fighters from both sides. The clash of weapons striking armor was deafening. A thick cloud of red dust filled the air, and no one could see anything clearly. In that awful and confused encounter, friend struck friend, unable to distinguish him from foe. Gradually, the earth became covered with so much blood that the dust clouds subsided. Everything again became visible, revealing scenes of destruction everywhere. Like, because at first, the cloud is there because there's so much action and it goes up, because then there's so much blood that there's no more dust. Bhima and Ghatotkacha swept about the field like whirlwinds, killing thousands of men. Duryodhana saw his forces overpowered. He ordered Bhagadatta, the king of Pragyotishtha, to attack Bhima and his son. The mighty warrior, because he's a great warrior, he rides on an elephant. Right? Mighty warrior rode upon a giant elephant no less powerful than Airavata. Backed by a vast division of other elephant warriors, he advanced towards Bhima, shouting out his challenge. Seeing him approach like a moving mountain, the Pandava fighters surrounded him and assailed his elephant with numerous shafts that thudded into its side. Wounded by hundreds of arrows, the big beast resembled a hill decorated with seams of red chalk. It screamed in fury and rushed at his foes, trampling entire chariots and their horses. I mean, because that's the thing, the elephants, and they can trample. They do that. They can also spin. Then it really gets difficult. And so he's such a big elephant that he himself can trample a chariot, you know, so that's big. Trampling entire chariots with their horses, charioteers, and warriors, despite his wounds, the elephant could not be checked. The ruler of the Dasharhas, Kshatradeva, mounted upon another elephant, ran in fury at Bhagadatta. The two elephants collided, but Bhagadatta's mount did not waver. Kshatradeva's mount, however, stumbled backwards. In swift succession, Bhagadatta hurled at him 14 lances decked with gems and fitted with long barbed points. They pierced through the elephant's armor and sent it reeling. Screaming in pain, the Dasharha monarch's elephant turned and ran, crushing the army to which it belonged. Bhagadatta roared in joy and goaded on his own beast, which began to careen wildly about the field. The unstoppable elephant crushed divisions of soldiers as it ran here and there. I mean, that'll be the foot soldiers. But also, if he steps on a chariot, then that's also. The Pandavas were dispersed, and they raced away in all directions, shouting in terror. Gatodgacha then challenged Bhagadatta with a roar of anger. Assuming an immense form, he hurled a blazing trident at the elephant. As it flew, it emitted fire. Bhagadatta instantly shot a crescent-headed shaft that cut the trident down before it reached him. It fell in pieces to the earth, like a couple of meteors falling from heaven. Bhagadatta then threw a lance at the Rakshasa that blazed as it flew. Gatodgacha leapt up and caught that lance. Yelling, he broke it across his thighs as the Pandavas cheered. Infuriated, Bhagadatta rushed at the Pandava warriors, backed by his elephant division. And a fierce fight ensued. Gatodgacha kept Bhagadatta at bay while Bhima and other warriors slaughtered the enemy troops. And so he kept Bhagadatta busy because he was the most powerful at that in this battle. Chapter 9, Bhishma's Vow. On the far south side of the battlefield, Arjuna fought the Samsaptakas headed by Susharma. These warriors were dauntless and had vowed never to retreat. They kept the Pandava fully engaged and away from Bhishma and other leading Kurus. Arjuna fought fairly. He would not use his weapons he had received from the gods, even though the celestial missiles were capable of annihilating his human foe. Means one of his weapons could wipe out the whole army, right? But he doesn't. But even with conventional weapons, Arjuna was formidable. The Samsaptakas rushed at him in waves, hurling darts, lances, clubs, axes, and countless arrows, all of which Arjuna effortlessly countered with his own arrows from the Gandiva. He repeatedly struck his antagonist with the clusters of shafts that tore through the armor. With every attack, thousands fell, but they kept coming at him. Late in the day, a messenger reached Arjuna and informed him of Iravan's death. He cried out and sat down on his chariot. Seeing him overpowered by grief, Krishna maneuvered the chariot away from the enemy. Arjuna buried his hand in his hands and wept. After a few minutes, he said, "Alas, Lord, I am realizing how pious was Yudhishthira in seeking to avert this war by any means. Surely that great-minded soul saw clearly how this war would mean such a terrible destruction of men. Therefore, he begged for only 5 small villages. But the mean-spirited Duryodhana refused. Now innumerable Kshatriyas are being slain for the sake of wealth." Right? So that's why Yudhishthira would go with that. It means if you give back the kingdom, that's the first option. If not, give us 5 villages. If not, then war. But such a simple solution than Duryodhana. No, Duryodhana, because he thought there'll be no destruction. He'll just go out there and they'll get scared and run away. Or, one day they'll wipe them out. "Seeing all these heroes lying prostrate on the earth, I can only reproach myself. Fie upon the duty of a Kshatriya. Fie upon the desire for kingdom or wealth. I cannot take any pleasure in this battle." Arjuna gazed with tearful eyes at the waiting Samsaptakas. There was now no question of abandoning the fight. It was clear that the war would end only when Duryodhana's forces were annihilated, and him alone with them. Right? Because even if he's not dead, he'll figure out some way to continue the fight. Arjuna's grief turned to anger as he thought of Duryodhana's obstinacy. Now Arjuna's own dear son had perished thanks to Duryodhana. Right? Because Duryodhana, that means it's in general Duryodhana because of the battle, but even directly Duryodhana, because he, seeing what was happening, sent in Alambusha. And goaded him on, saying, "Hey, this is Bhima's, nephew, and so therefore Alambusha wanted to kill him." Frowning and breathing heavily, Arjuna reached for his bow. "This is no time for a display of feminine sentiments. Drive the chariot towards Duryodhana, O Keshava. Let us cross over this impassable ocean of soldiers. By your grace, dear Lord, I will soon end this war." Krishna urged his horses forward, and the chariot raced across the field. From a distance, Arjuna saw the banners of Duryodhana, Drona, and Bhishma, who were fighting together supported by Kripa, Ashwatthama, and Bhagadatta. As they saw Arjuna approach, they met him with volleys of arrows. Not tolerating their attack, Arjuna replied with arrows of his own. He began to range about the field, firing his shafts on all sides. Each of them flew with unerring accuracy towards his target. Warriors fell from their chariots like ripe fruits falling from trees caught in a gale. Like, as soon as the wind is there, all these fruits fall off. As the sun went towards the west, the battle raged on. The combatants fell upon each other like angry lions, fighting for their prey. They dragged one another by the hair and hacked off each other's limbs and heads. Striking with weapons, fists, feet, and teeth, they fought in a frenzy, slaying both armies in droves. Beautiful bows, their staves decked with gold and jewels, lay discarded on the field. Precious ornaments and arrows soaked in oil shone from the ground. Steel swords with ivory hilts and fine shields embossed with gold engravings fell from their owners' lifeless hands. Lances, darts, battle axes, and maces, all ornately worked with gold and jewels, were scattered about. Men lay in unnatural positions, still clutching weapons. With wide, staring eyes, they appeared as if still living. Others lay butchered and twisted, their arms and legs akimbo, and their mouths hanging open. The smell of blood and burning flesh filled the air. Toward the end of the day, a frightful fight took place between Bhima and Duryodhana. Having just single-handedly slain an entire division of 10,000 men, Bhima heard Duryodhana challenging him. "Stand and fight with me, Bhima, if you have any courage. So far you have killed only ordinary soldiers. Let's see how you fare against a truly powerful warrior." Clasping his iron mace as if he might crush it, Bhima laughed. "The hour I have so long anxiously awaited has arrived. Today I will kill you if you do not abandon the fight out of fear. Today I will soothe the sorrows of Kunti and Draupadi. Killing you in battle, I will avenge the woes we suffered in the forest. Inflated with pride, you have disregarded us. Reap now the fruit of that folly. O man of wicked mind, you have despised even the sinless Krishna." Although he personally came to Hastinapur to seek peace, "filled with a sick joy, you sent Uluka to us with your depraved messages. For these acts, I will dispatch you and your relations to death's abode." Bhima lifted his bow and instantly fired 36 arrows resembling thunderbolts at Duryodhana. They killed Duryodhana's horses, knocked his charioteer to the ground, and broke his bow. Bhima swiftly followed the arrows with two more razor-headed shafts that cut down Duryodhana's standard and the white umbrella above his chariot. Kaurava's fine standard, emblazoned with a golden serpent and decked with gems, suddenly dropped to the ground, and Bhima roared in exultation. Duryodhana reached for another bow, but Bhima struck him with 10 more arrows. The Kaurava reeled about in his chariot. Without his horses, he could not maneuver away from Bhima's attack. Seeing his plight, Jayadratha advanced and attacked Bhima with a shower of arrows. At the same time, Kripa came up to Duryodhana and took him onto his own chariot. As Kripa carried away the almost unconscious Duryodhana, many other Kaurava fighters attacked Bhima, who was then joined by Abhimanyu. A ferocious battle ensued among those warriors. Once again, the sun set on scenes of widespread destruction all over the battlefield. The two armies withdrew for the night, praising each other for their respective feats of prowess. Right, so as they're going, they'll be commenting if somebody's done something very special and all. Then they'll mention, they'll say, "Yes, this was very great." Back in his tent, Duryodhana slowly came back to his senses. Smarting from the wounds inflicted by Bhima and from the shame of losing the fight, he began to think of Karna. If Bhishma is not willing to slay the Pandavas, then he should stand down and allow Karna to fight. The Kaurava prince decided to speak with his friend, who was waiting in the camp for his opportunity to join the battle. Right, so this is already 8 days. Right? Seeing him entering his tent bloodied and covered with dust, Karna jumped up and embraced him. "How fares the Kurus? Are you gaining victory over your enemies and increasing your fame?" Duryodhana shook his head. "No, my friend, things are not going our way. We are being routed by the warlike Pandavas, who cannot be slain even by the Celestials. Day by day they are grinding down our forces. O Karna, I am weakening, and our store of weapons has been reduced. I am now wondering if we will ever defeat the Pandavas." Karna's face flushed and he clenched his fist. "Grieve not, O best of the Bharatas. I will do what is pleasing to you without delay. Let Bhishma be withdrawn from the battle. When that old hero lays down his weapons, I will come personally to slay the Pandavas. Bhishma will always treat Pandu's sons leniently and is incapable of killing them. Order him to stand down, O king. I swear that I will then, before everyone's eyes, bring down the mighty Pandavas in battle." Karna only wanted to say what pleased Duryodhana. He knew that he too could not kill all the Pandavas. He had promised Kunti to spare all but Arjuna. At least he would fight with his full power, perhaps killing Arjuna and sending the other brothers fleeing. That would lead to the Kaurava's victory, without a doubt. Duryodhana was heartened. Your words fire me with new enthusiasm, O great hero. I will go to Bhishma. The powerful warrior will not agree to slay the Pandavas tomorrow. Then I will return. You will then be able to fight, for I will persuade Bhishma to retire. Duryodhana left Karna's tent. Mounting his dark horse, colored horse, he made his way to Bhishma's quarters. Seeing him so badly hurt, Bhishma had royal physicians cleanse his wounds. He then personally applied herbs that quickly healed the prince. By the application of Vishalya Karini, a herb taken from the Himalayan mountains, Bhishma removed Duryodhana's pain. As he was treated, the Kaurava leader spoke anxiously with his commander. It seems we can do nothing to stop the Pandavas' onslaught, O sire. They surge forward and break our lines. Penetrating, crushing, and slaughtering, the mighty warriors gain fame at our expense. Today they smashed apart our formation and routed our troops. I myself have been wounded by Bhima and almost slain. O best of men, I do not accept that you are incapable of checking the Pandavas. Tomorrow you should exert your full power. By your grace, I desire to obtain victory and kill Pandu's sons. Bhishma looked with pity upon Duryodhana. He still could not realize that his hope was to destroy the Pandavas was futile. Equally futile was trying to explain that to him. He would have to learn the hard way. Bhishma thought of Krishna. Whatever plans or maneuvers the Kurus attempted, no matter how skillful, Krishna would doubtlessly thwart. Yet, as the commander of the Kuru army, Bhishma knew it was his duty to do everything in his power to try to defeat the Pandavas. Duty was painful. At least it brought him into contact with Krishna, and that could never be inauspicious under any circumstances. Right? So whatever's connected to Krishna, that becomes wonderful. Because it's the relationship with Krishna, that remembering Krishna, interacting with Krishna, that becomes the particular thing. It's not the situation. Right? In the material world, the situation and that transformation of the situation, that's what we base our happiness on. But on the spiritual platform, no, it's about being absorbed with Krishna. That becomes the basis. Having finished his medicinal administrations, Bhishma took a seat by Duryodhana's side. I have fought to the utmost of my power each day. The old Kuru held up his arms, which were scarred from countless strikes of the bowstring. I have slain tens of thousands of warriors. Still I cannot harm the Pandavas and their foremost fighters. They are protected by virtue and by the Lord of Virtue himself. What can exertion achieve? Duryodhana folded his palms as he addressed Bhishma. Relying on you, O slayer of foes, we are capable of vanquishing in battle even the celestials and suras combined. What then of the Pandavas? How can I believe that you cannot kill five men, even if they were supported by their relatives and allies? Tears flowed from Duryodhana's eyes. O son of Ganga, my lord, you should be merciful to me. Slay the sons of Pandu like Indra slays the Danavas. Make good your promise to me that you would slaughter the enemy armies. Exhibit your full power, because his point is Pandavas. Right? Exhibit your full power and kill the five brothers along with all their followers. Duryodhana paused and breathed deeply. He looked into Bhishma's eyes. Right? So he's saying this, that, you know, how to get at... this is then, you know, his plea. Then we'll see how his further mood, I think, unravels here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.